One of the joys I have as a regional minister is I get to travel around our 150 churches in the East Midlands. And I've got to say, God is on the move. I'm seeing more and more churches that are growing, more and more of our churches that are opening their baptistry several times a year, more and more people, more and more churches where people are just coming into the church. And often the world will say to us, won't they, that the church is done for. It's old, it's outdated, no one really goes. And some of the figures that Chris showed us, you know, we are seeing an increase in the duns, those who've had enough of church and have done away with it, and the nuns, not the wimple type, but the nuns who've got no faith. We are seeing those groups increasing, but actually God says in Matthew 16, I will build my church. I find that really encouraging. I will build my church. We are just party participants in that because it's God that will build his church. Convinced? I know deep inside you're going amen and hallelujah, aren't you? We are being British, yes. But that's the truth. Jesus says, I will build my church. We often come to church life thinking that it all falls on us. Often we think that, I had to write this down, that often we think that God has a mission for his church. But it's the other way around. God has a church for his mission. We are joining in with what he is doing. And what we want to do for the rest of the day is to take some time to think about, well, what are some of the things that are working really, really well? What are some of the strengths of Ruddington Baptist Church? What are some of the things that might hinder? What are some of the weaknesses? We also want to think about what sort of minister possibly we may be wanting here to move us forward in mission and ministry. I'm just going to recap something. I think I was with you back in 2019. And we were over at West Bridgeford Baptist Church and we were working on Sam's vision for the church. And I know I spent quite a bit of time thinking about what vision is. So I'm not going to repeat all of that, but I'm just going to give us the headlines, okay? Just to make sure we are on the same page when it comes to think about vision for today. So what is vision? Well, vision is the ability to see the future in a way that compels others to pay attention. Vision is seeing tomorrow so powerfully it shapes today. Vision is your faith dream for your church. Or maybe go to scripture. Proverbs 29 verse 18 says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. Or as the King James version puts it, where there is no vision, the people perish. Vision is vital to churches. And one of the things I see in our growing churches where God is doing something is that they have a clear vision. They know what God is asking of them. So to take time to think through what the vision is for Ruddington Baptist Church is not time wasted. That's why I started off by saying, you know, to have a day like today, an opportunity to think through what vision is. It's putting fertilizer in the soil. It's making sure that there's something that God can grow in and through. What does vision do? What's the importance of vision? Lots of things here. I'm not going to explain them all because I explained them all back in March 2019. Clarifies direction, invites unity, facilitates participation, enhances leadership, prompts passion, fosters risk-taking, offers sustenance, creates energy, provides purpose, encourages giving, simply motivates. Vision is important. Vision needs to be clear. needs to be exciting is a mental picture, the future of ministry. When we think about leadership, and we're not just thinking about accredited, ordained leadership, but when we think about leadership of our churches, I think this is a good definition. What defines a leader is their preoccupation with the future. In their head, they carry a vivid image of what the future could be, and this image drives them on. You may be an Alice in Wonderland fan. Alice asks, "Would you tell me, please, which way I ought to go?" said Alice. "That depends a good deal on where you want to get to," replies the cat. Where do you want Ruddington Baptist Church to be in 5, 10, 15, 20, 50 years' time? Because where you want to end up, well, that sets out where you want to start from. A few weeks back, I did the three peaks, Yorkshire Three Peaks, and we decided not to do the challenge, to do it in 12 hours. That really would have killed me. We wimped out and we did one a day over a weekend. And I'm not a great walker, but the person who organised this had planned to the minutest detail where we were going to start from. And on our last walk, we decided to walk an extra 3 miles so we didn't have such a steep incline, which I'm quite pleased about. So where we start from influences our journey and where we get to. Vision is important. Healthy churches, we are told by those who know about healthy churches. These are some of the features of what a healthy church looks like. Has a clear mission and purpose. It knows what it's about. It knows what it's trying to do. Understands its context. The world around us is changing so rapidly. And the church, as forever, is playing catch-up. Do we understand that we are not a Christian country anymore? Some in our churches I speak to don't. Do we understand that the door is slowly closing for us to go in and do school assemblies if we are faith-based? Do we know, do we understand that the Christian story is not understood beyond these walls? And when you say things like, how many animals did Moses take into the ark? Lots of people spend time thinking about it and trying to calculate it. How many animals did Moses take into the ark? None. It was Noah. But we are losing that Christian story. I tell that story because in my first church, we did have a quiz night, and the quiz master did ask that question, and I was the one going, well, there were two of these, two of those, and Carol did have great joy going, the minister has failed. So yeah. But the Christian story is not known. So what are some of our strengths as Ruddington Baptist? What are some of our weaknesses? And let's be open and honest about our weaknesses. What are some of the opportunities that we have here? And what are some of the threats? What has struck you, or what is worth noting from the SWOT stuff that we did earlier? Yeah. God. Okay, what about God? I know that's a very open question, but what about God? Okay. God is God missing from the picture? Okay. Hopefully not. There are some givens, aren't there? But hopefully we've got to keep God in the picture. Yeah. Other things. So God wants to be in the center of the picture, not just in the picture. Yeah. Okay, so being more evangelistic, bringing God into the things that you already do. Yeah. Okay, so a lot of similarity across the groups in strengths and with threats. Yeah. Okay. So it's not just about what happens here, it's about living every day for Jesus. Whole life discipleship, I think, is what we would term that. Yeah. Okay, so willingness to move, adapt, change, not just do the way that not just to do things the way you've always done. I've known Ruddington Baptist for nearly 20 years. When I first moved here, I got to know Mike quite well, and you were just selling the old chapel. And I remember at the time thinking, that's quite radical. Where are you going? And Mike was saying, But I thought, that's really quite radical to sell your building. And I knew the building wasn't in, you know, a good state or whatever. But that's quite radical. And I've noticed that about you. You are quite willing to do what needs to be done. So being who you are. Yeah. I'm a firm believer. You can only minister out of who you are. You know, and it took me 10 years in ministry to realize that. I was trying to be like other ministers and then realized actually I'm me. And I minister out of who I am, my personality and my gifts, my skills. And it's the same for churches. You can only minister out of who you are. Yeah. So Ruddington is the context in which you are placed, located. Don't be ashamed of it. Go with it, whatever that might be. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So you can see things differently. So whilst you may be financially secure, that's a good thing. You know, you some of our churches are financially poor and just don't have the funds to call a minister, but you don't just want to depend on that. You still need to be able to trust God in that God, how are you going to use, you know, those resources? Yeah. Getting older, which we mentioned earlier, a congregation getting older, but there's still a responsibility to the young, the youth, the schools in Ruddington. You know, no one's going in doing stuff. Okay. At some point, I'm convinced those doors will close. We won't be allowed into schools, I think. I've been a governor of one of my primary schools in Melton for 15, 16 years, and I've seen that. I was given free rein to do whatever I wanted when I was first there. I'm still given free rein slightly, but it's getting less and less as to what I can do. And I know other ministers cannot get in because they haven't got that relationship with the school. And I think one day that will close on us. Certainly secondary schools in Melton have closed down on churches. We're not perfect. Amen. Amen. We are not perfect. And God uses our imperfections. I am really, really encouraged. Take Jesus out of the equation because he was slightly different. But all of the main characters in the Bible, they all had flaws, didn't they? They all had faults, personality or otherwise. You know, we're amongst a good crowd. But God uses our imperfections. You need to pray, yeah. Prayer is the foundation, isn't it, for everything we do. Dare I say fasting? I say, that's too radical. I know, because at Melton at the moment, we are in a season of increased prayer and fasting. And we are challenging ourselves to pray more and fast more. And my response is, oh no, you know, do we? That's the fasting bit, you know. But yeah, you know, the two often go hand in hand. That's spiritual discipline. New housing. You know, that's something I picked up earlier. I think I mentioned that. If there is housing going on, new housing going on, you know, seize that opportunity to engage with it. It is that moment. It's a God moment. Finances. I picked that up. You seem to be quite a financially okay church. That's a blessing because many of our churches are not. But as we sort of pointed out, you know, you need to keep that in check with being willing to do what God wants you to do and being honouring that way and be dependent on him. Okay, that's quite helpful. We might return to that in a few moments. We want to think a little bit about what sort of person And I know my default will be, what sort of minister? And when I say minister, I may sometimes mean minister, but I may also mean church worker. Okay, so what sort of person might you need here at Ruddington Baptist Church that could move you forward in this next season of mission and ministry? Because that's where we're at the moment. Sam did a good job. He had gifts, he had skills, he had commitment. He brought all of that to be the minister here at Ruddington Baptist. Sam has now moved on. And you have a moment to say, okay, what sort of person do we need to move us forward in this next season of mission and ministry? It may not be another Sam. It may be someone completely different to Sam. Maybe someone that you go, this is the person that I want, but it's actually not the person you need. What sort of person? I've collated some responses that churches have put down on their profile forms as to the sort of characteristics that they are looking for in a new minister. Okay, these are all genuine ones. You don't necessarily need to read them all, a heart after God, but I'll read them for you. A heart after God, a shepherd for God's church, a prayer warrior, a good communicator, friendly, approachable, caring, open to the Holy Spirit's leading, sensitive to different needs across ages, able to work with people at their level, has a love for children, able to apply God's word practically and spiritually, able to preach good evangelistic services in a relevant way to the people of the area, able to relate to all ages, a good leader, keen Christian, enthusiastic and encourager, be family orientated. I speak quickly because there's another page. Good and friendly with all ages, committed, able to lead worship in a sensitive way, good at pastoral care, a love for God, a good mediator, good with young people, sympathetic to old people, a spiritual guide to all, a good visitor, should have a heart for evangelism, be able to re-empower the existing congregation that they would be all that God is calling them to be able to help us to fill the potential that God has a place in us, a heart for the community, be able to motivate the church, be a good teacher. I speak fast because there are still more. Oh, an organizer, sensitive, inspirational, challenging, passionate, a visionary, Baptist, baptized in the Holy Spirit, mildly extrovert. Mildly extrovert. I would fail there. Live in a church parish, ideally aged between 25 and 45. Have a gift of discernment. Encourage the gifts of the Spirit, compassionate, be able to interact with the congregation, comfortable talking to people, excellent in pastoral care, leading worship well. There are more, okay? There are more. We have seen genuinely long lists of what churches are looking for in their minister. When I moved to Melton, I went to speak to one church on the outskirts of London, and they had a long list. I had 15 people interviewing me, which was a bit ridiculous, and they had a long list of what they were looking for, and it was a bit like this. And I remember saying to them, what don't you need in your minister? And it was stunned silence. And at that moment, I felt, this is not going to be the place for me. And in a bold moment, because I am a quiet extrovert, believe it or not, in a moment, I said to them, I think we need to be realistic. I think Jesus might get this job, although I don't know if he got a guitar, because they wanted a musician. But I don't think St. Paul would. They never invited me back. But we need to be realistic. We need... It's the afternoon slot, I know. We need to be realistic. We cannot overload whoever this person will be to come in and lead Ruddington Baptist Church. We have to be realistic, okay? One of the reasons I went to Melton, I asked them exactly the same question, what they don't need. And they said, do you know what? We've got a really good pastoral care team. We don't need that. We've got two really good worship bands. So whilst you play the guitar, Nick, don't worry about it. They never let me play for 13 years. you know, we have good worship leaders, we have preachers. So there are things that we are not expecting you to do, that they were realistic. And my challenge would be, as you step out in this journey, be realistic. What is it that you need to move you forward in mission and in ministry? One of the things I know you did a couple of weeks back, you looked at the fivefold ministries of Ephesians chapter 4. So verses 11 to 13 says this. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. In one sense, these fivefold ministries that we have listed here, what Paul is trying to do is to say, look, you know, you need this range of gifts, this skill. You need these ministry types in your church to bring the church to full maturity as disciples. I know, and maybe you looked at this, I know there's great debate about whether or not we should use the word apostle or apostolic. And I'm not saying we are apostles in the same sense as Jesus' apostles were. But there are certainly those who are apostolic, who have a wider ministry. You could argue that bishops or regional ministers have that sort of role. There's a wider ministry. Prophets, someone mentioned, I think it was the group at the end here, mentioned we need someone, or we have prophetic voices in this church. Evangelists, those who have the gift of the gab, can just gossip Jesus left, right, and center. Pastors, teachers, people to look after the flock, people to teach the flock. I think in our Baptist tradition, we often focus on the pastor teacher. Most ministers have trained in that mold to be pastor teachers. We did for a while accredit evangelists in the Baptist Union, but we closed the list on that. When I was at college doing my ministerial formation, my course director, Stuart Murray Williams, said he had a very interesting conversation. Someone came to him and said, I feel I'm being called to be a prophet in the Baptist Union. Where do I go and get trained? He sent him outside of the Baptist Union because there was nowhere else or nowhere in the family where we could train. So those five, that fivefold ministry, all sort of needed in a church. Maybe it's helpful. I find this quite helpful. This is proposed by a chap called J.R. Woodward. And he says, maybe apostles are the dream awakeners in our church. The what-if people, the pioneers, the visionaries. The prophets are the heart revealers, revealing something of God's heart to a congregation. The evangelists are the storytellers. Let me tell you the greatest story ever told and invite you to be part of it. The pastors, the soul healers, the teachers, the light givers. I quite like that helpful sort of descriptors we have there. You may not. We don't need to get in a spiritual argument about it. What do you need here at Ruddington to move you forward in mission and ministry? What are you missing in the congregation? Do you need someone with vision? Someone revealing the heart of God? Someone who can tell the story, heal the souls, teach light? What's needed? I wonder if we could just take some time around our tables. If you want to split up again, by all means, feel free to do that. You know, musical chairs or whatever. if you want to sit with different people. But let's have a conversation about what you feel you need at Redington Baptist in terms of those fivefold ministries to move you forward. And again, we're not committing anything to paper. Well, we might actually commit something to paper. We're not committing it to stone. Okay. What do you feel? Where the church is now to move it forward in its mission and ministry? What sort of ministry, what sort of worker do you think you need at this moment?